Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio, Wednesday, 19th of November, and we're in Kansas City, virtually. Not cheering on the Chiefs. We're at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. And one of the sessions that we had earlier today was on mental health in rural America. And that has been a focus of what we've been talking about here during the upheaval of the election week. And this past week, where things are not settled yet, but mental health in rural America, confronting all of the challenges, the downtimes that agriculture goes through, the up and down, it ain't like owning a store. It's not like retail. Of course, restaurants are going through some major challenges these days, but mental health, mental wellness in rural America is being talked about here with John Schutzke. He's the University of Wisconsin-Madison College of Agriculture and Life Sciences mental health specialist. John, tell us a little bit about yourself and your program.
I grew up on a family farm, Northwest Indiana. My parents are still there today. They're in their 80s now and kind of went through the farm crisis in the 1980s, late 70s, early 80s. But it wasn't until 1988, I worked for the Illinois Farm Bureau during the 88 drought and really began to get into stress and mental health. And obviously, things cycle, and we're in one of those cycles now with a lot of different challenges. So I'm just going to fly through some material here for your broadcasters and your colleagues. I think that farm stress is no secret. When we talk about mental health, mental well-being, suicide prevention, I do like to look upstream and like look at this whole situation with all the stresses we face. It's obvious weather, conditions, politics, labor issues right now. And there are a lot of different impacts, everything from health, physical health, the potential for depression risk, suicide risk, and also farm safety. You mentioned my background in farm injury prevention and farm safety, and we know that there's a really strong connection. Down at the bottom of this graphic also, in Wisconsin, just like other states, people who might be listening, our average farmers are about 10 to 15 years older than the general population. So there's stress that's associated with aging. We've got the COVID challenges right now. With a lot of younger families, it's not just the older people, but younger families with COVID happening on the farm, happening in the community. We've got challenges with children and homeschooling. So there's just a lot of stuff that's happening out there right now. Not to mention all of the routine stuff that we deal with, weather and tornadoes and natural disasters and floods and the whole realm. Pam, what I like to talk about when I'm out working with all the farmers I work with over the course of a year, and by the way, the last time I was out in the real world, traveled down to Savannah, Georgia for the National Farmers Union Annual Convention. I'd been in Austin, Texas like the month before that. So it's been a while. But when I'm out talking to farmers, I like to talk about the fact that stress isn't just in your head. When we talk about people who are dealing with stress and those feelings that, you know, everybody knows about, the tightness in the chest, the feelings of the sweaty palms and just kind of feeling agitated, having difficulty sleeping, those kinds of things. There's a reason why that happens. It's not just in our brain. It's not just in our head. Stress is caused by some hormones or fuel. And those fuels are typically cortisol, which is a hormone, and also adrenaline. And I just want to emphasize the fact that when we're under stress, our body begins to pump out these chemicals. Back in the days when we're like cavemen and cavewomen, 100,000 years ago, if you were being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, it was good to have all these hormones because it prepared you to run. Your blood pressure would go up, your blood sugar would increase, the amount of blood lipids. And part of that was just to give you the energy to either fight off the threat or to run away. But the problem now is we don't have those same natural releases. And so that impact on the brain in some cases causes people to make bad decisions. And that just like further reinforces this cycle. The brain kind of shuts down to some extent. That's overstating it a little bit, but when we're under stress, our fear center activates. The part of our brain that we need for making really good, positive decisions, we have difficulty making those decisions. And if you think about that, just like the days of the caveman and the saber-toothed tigers, you didn't want to have to stop and think about it. You wanted your body to be ready to act, to fight, to run, and you didn't want to spend time overanalyzing the situation. So there's reasons why all this stuff happens to us. It's not because we're weak. It's not because we can't handle the stress. These are real changes that occur in our body. They can be managed, and I think we'll come back and talk about that in a moment. The other thing that happens in a lot of cases, a lot of us, we have difficulty sleeping in times of stress. But where I want to kind of turn this back over to you is in these times of stress, when we have difficulty, production times are difficult. We are faced with a lot of complexity, a lot of thinking about the future. And if we're under that constant barrage of stress, it can create kind of a perceived lack of control. And that's when people begin to experience the depression, the anxiety. Again, I mentioned the potential increased risk for suicide. But I want to really emphasize for your listeners and your viewers that these are real changes, and they're things that we can cope and deal with.
Another mental health specialist at the University of Wisconsin is Jeff Ditzenberger. Jeff, what's the difference between the way men cope with stress and the way women cope with stress on the farm?
The challenge within the farming community is that, one, you've got proud people on both sides of the fence, men and women on both sides of, you know, and there's a lot of women farmers out there, you know, that are running the farm operations, and the husbands are the ones that work off the farm. So there's some dynamics that have changed over the years that makes it a little more challenging as well. But the thing is that a lot of the families that I talk to, the wives that work off the farm, or the guys that work off the farm, will say, that was my sanctuary. That was my time away to kind of regroup, to deal with the stresses that I would deal with when I would come back home. And then we'd send the kids to school, and we would have some time, you know, as a husband and wife to talk. And it's not even the husbands and wives all together. I mean, it's the partners. Like, if it's a brother, father, son, you know, there's so many different dynamics that we have here. And that's one of the core things that my group does, is like, we try to get people in touch with people that are unbiased. Because if you're a male farmer, and you come to the kitchen table after you get done milking cows or running the combine for the day, and you tell your wife, well, I got a fee bill to pay, but there's no money in the account. She's dealing with the same angst that the husband is dealing with. So there's no separation from that. You know, it's not the word she can say, oh, it'll be okay, we'll make it work. You know, I've got a paycheck coming in, or whatever the case may be. And then you throw the kids into the dynamic. And I tell you what, Pam, I'm finding these kids are smarter and smarter and smarter about what's going on with mom and dad nowadays, or grandma or grandpa or whoever, in this atmosphere, because they're seeing the angst between their parents. And one of the things that I've been working on is that, you know, a lot of the people that I talk to will say, oh, I got to stay strong for the kids. And I'm like, no, you don't. You can sit down and have a conversation with your children about your mental health, because it does a couple of things. One, it gives you as a family unit time to sit down and actually talk about something that's very, very important, to where they will understand if mom and dad say the word hippopotamus, the kids need to go in the other room and let mom and dad sort some things out and not have to hear some of the other conversation that's going on that really they shouldn't have to necessarily have to deal with. The other thing from a man's perspective, and this is why I'm very passionate about this, is that women are apt to talk about their feelings. You ladies will talk to your best friend or your sister, or, you know, your core group, and you talk about your feelings like it's nobody's business. Men are not like that. And one of the things that I've found very interesting is when I give my public presentations, when I used to do that before COVID, is that, you know, you have guys in the audience, and you could have 100 guys and 20 women, and you tell the guys to say the word feelings, and they're like, and then you tell the women to say the word feelings, and those 10 women would just blow the guys out of the water, you know? So we can't hardly even say the word, much less talk about what the actual part of it is. And, you know, one of the things that I try to do is I try to get people to understand that these feelings are natural. Like, if you need to cry in front of your kids, cry in front of your kids. If you need to cry in front of your wife, cry in front of your wife. If you need to cry in front of your best friend, do it. It's a way to release some of this stress. And now with COVID, the other challenge that I'm finding with that, Pam, is that, and we were actually talking about this in one of the mental health classes that I'm taking just the other night. Now there's a new buzz phrase out there called pandemic exhaustion. We're tired of hearing about masks. We're tired of hearing about the numbers. We're tired of hearing about all this rhetoric that comes around it. So now you've just got one more challenge added onto it, because, you know, I talked to my next door neighbor, who happens to be my ex-wife. I talked to her and she's like, I haven't been off the farm in 6 weeks. I absolutely love it. But when I go to town, I get more anxiety because there's so many things that are different now that I don't like she doesn't have that connection. And that's one of the challenges with rural America. You know, not all farmers are Facebook savvy. Not all farmers are Snapchat savvy. Not all farmers even tune into the news other than to listen to them to get the market reports and see what's going on in agriculture. But the rest of the media, we don't want to listen to because we're tired of it.
And I'll second that emotion. All right, Jeff Ditzenberger, University of Wisconsin, along with John Schutzke, rural mental health specialists.